Well, if ever there was a year in our lifetimes that needed good news, then it's surely this year, the year 2020. You don't need me to tell you how testing and demanding this year has been. The losses, the sorrow, the pain and the frustration felt amongst us tell their own story. Not least the disappointment felt last night in homes when the Prime Minister addressed the nation. And yet, looking back in all of that sadness, the events of Tuesday, December the 8th, still stand out as special, and they still give hope. That was the day when, at exactly 6:31 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, a UK grandmother by the name of Margaret Keenan became the first person in the world, wonderful news, to be given the Pfizer COVID-19 jab as part of the mass vaccination programme. It was a wonderful day. And Margaret turned 91 just last week. And you may remember that at the time of her jab, she said it was the best early birthday present she could ever have imagined. Her jab. Well, her words made me think about the very best ever Christmas present. I wonder if you can remember the best Christmas present that you've ever received. Most of us, sadly, struggle even to remember what we had last year. But what's the best ever Christmas present you've received? You see, I would guess that everybody who has joined this carol service this morning knows that behind all of the trimming, behind the 750 million Brussels sprouts, behind the 227,000 miles of wrapping paper, and even behind the 175 million mince pies that we shall eat between us this year, you know, if you stack those one on top of the other, it would come to the height of Everest 600 times over. And behind even the 25 million Christmas puddings that we're going to consume, lies something very special. A remarkable yet lowly birth 2,000 years ago, where all of the trimmings are noticeably absent. That's the true Christmas, isn't it? That is in danger of being stolen from so many of us. But you know, don't you, deep in your heart, that we celebrate a remarkable birth. Have you thought about these things? It was a birth spoken of hundreds of years before it actually happened. Even the town where the delivery took place was made known about 800 years before the conception would occur. A large part of the biography of the one to be born had already been written, even before he was born. The birth was announced by angels. The birth was to a virgin, and they were visited by the shepherds and later by the wise men who followed the star. And all of that, you may remember, so incensed King Herod, who felt threatened by the news, that he had all the young boys under the age of 2 that he could find put to death. Thinking about the best ever Christmas present, we know it's something to do with the birth of Jesus. And we're right to describe him as a gift, because the most famous verse in the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he," fill in the blank, "gave," it's a gift, "and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish, but rather they would have everlasting life." It's about Jesus, and he's a gift that God himself has given. But I have one question only for you this Christmas, and it's this. Would you be able to explain to somebody else why the first Christmas gift is the best gift ever? Have you yourself understood the very heart of Christmas? Or would you have to admit that it's been stolen from you. I understood Margaret Keenan's words on that memorable Tuesday, December the 8th, that a Pfizer COVID jab was the best early birthday present. And a vaccine is a wonderful, free, here in the UK anyway, gift, when the most serious, life-threatening problem is seen to be the coronavirus, or SARS-CoV-2. But when we begin to unwrap that first Christmas gift, the one that God himself gave, we begin to see new and vital dimensions to life that perhaps we've never really grasped before. May I put it this way? Had the perfectly wise God, the creator of the human race, had he perceived that the human race's most significant problem was illness, then surely 2,000 years ago he would have sent a vaccine, or a doctor, or at least a formula to be worked on. Let me put it another way. Had the perfectly wise God, the creator of the human race, perceived that the human race's most significant issue was poverty, he would surely have sent a rich man or an economist. But the Bible could not be clearer. Listen. The perfectly wise God, the creator of the human race, perceived that the human race's most significant issue was something different. So he didn't send a vaccine or a doctor or an economist or even a merchant banker. What did he send? What is very important we understand, he sent a saviour. That's exactly what the angels announced to the shepherds. Good news of great joy for all people, a saviour has been born to you. Now the true meaning of Christmas will be stolen from us forever unless and until we see the joy of God sending a saviour. Now, we all know what a saviour is. A saviour is a person who saves something or someone from difficulty, from harm, from danger, or even death. The wealthy businessman or woman who saves the well-known brand or chain of shops from collapse. The RLLI lifeboatman or woman who saves you from drowning. A saviour. The best news the world will ever hear is the news you're hearing now, that the Almighty God sent a saviour into the world 2,000 years ago. It really is good news of great joy for all people. But you still might have a question. Okay, so God sent a saviour. But a saviour from what? A saviour from drowning? A saviour from collapse? Well, no. And the answer lies, very simply, in his name. Now, Christmas names are very important. Seasonal baby names are fascinating. I read this week that in December 2017, we had 166 babies who were then called Angel. Four were called Gift, 37 were called Star, and 5 were called Merry. Seasonal baby names. And the name Holly is especially popular at this time of year. 209 baby girls were named Holly in December 2017, compared with the average of normally 72 a month. And for boys, last year, in the month of December, there were 967 Gabriels. There were 398 Nicholases. And there were 120 Noels, or Noels. Seasonal names are important and fascinating. Both Mary and Joseph were separately instructed by angels to call the baby Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. And Joseph was given the reason why. You can read that for yourself in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Joseph was told, "You shall call his name Jesus because, listen, he will, there's no doubt about it, save," there you go, I told you he was a saviour, "his people." That's all who would believe in him. Listen, from what? From their sins. Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. Almighty God, in his perfect wisdom, recognized that the most serious issue facing the human race then and now is our sin. Now we know that the world isn't as it ought to be. It isn't as we'd want it to be. And we may argue the toss until the cows come home. But the Bible is crystal clear that the reason the world isn't as it ought to be is because of our sin. That little three-letter word which we so resist acknowledging. S-I-N, with the I in the middle. And that's the problem with the world. We each put I in the middle of our lives, when our Creator God is to be at the centre. We live for self rather than for him. And you can't be surprised at my mention of sin this morning. We've already sung it in the carols. Hark the Herald, we sang God and sinners reconciled. And then in O Little Town of Bethlehem, we sang of this world of sin. We also sang a prayer. Cast out our sin and enter in. God gave us 10 commandments, and they're summarized in these two: that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and secondly, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And not one of us has come close to keeping those commandments. We've all disobeyed. We've all dared to defy God, dared to shake our fist at him, rejecting him and his word, arrogantly thinking we know better. What a sorry state we are all in, and all because of our rebellious sin. We've not always done what is right, far from it. Jesus did. Our sin offends our holy Maker, and it's separated us from him. It's completely fractured the relationship we were designed to enjoy with him forever. And it has rendered every one of us fit for God's worthy condemnation and punishment. That's why we need to hear the good news. And the wonderful good news is this: that Christ Jesus came into the world with the sole purpose of saving sinners. He came to save them from their sin. And he saves them not by lying in a wooden manger at Bethlehem, but 33 years later hanging on a wooden cross. It's there that he, perfect, without sin, dies as a sacrifice for sin, being punished to the point of death for the sins of all who would come to believe upon him, his people. It's there on the wooden cross, in that great act. The act that lies at the very heart of why he came from heaven to earth, to Bethlehem's stable. It's there that he rescues the believing from their sins, from death, and from an eternity of hell. You see, Jesus Christ is a saviour. He's the saviour from sin, death, and hell. Things from which we can never save ourselves. No amount of doing good or being religious will ever save you or me from our sin. Only Jesus can do that. And that's why, very simply, he is the best gift ever. Because he alone is able to save from the most serious issue facing the human race. He alone can restore you to the most wonderful living relationship with the living God. He alone can set you free from sin and guilt and death. He alone can forgive you all of your sins and grant you, as a free gift, everlasting life, which is to know him and to enjoy him forever. These things are the most wonderful things we can ever enjoy. And they are found only in the best ever gift, God's Son, Jesus Christ. A gift, quite simply, that none of us deserve. The gift that you most need this Christmas is the gift that the one you've rebelled against, God himself, has in love sent. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, a saviour from sin. The one who has quite literally loved you to death. Have you received this precious gift? If not, you still can, and you must. You yourself can personally receive the best gift ever. God's word instructs us how to receive the gift. You are to turn from your own sin and your own unbelief. You are to abandon your proud and futile efforts to gain favour with God, and you are simply to trust Jesus Christ alone to save you, to forgive you, to make you right with God once and forever. He is, without rival, the best ever gift. May you please receive him into your heart this Christmas. Turn from your sin and unbelief and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the best ever gift, and you will be saved. We're going to sing our closing carol this morning. I would invite you to come and to adore him. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, won't you, this Sunday morning, come and adore him from your own heart.